If Peshawar was the city that reminded me of what Kabul used to be, then Islamabad was the city Kabul could have become someday. The streets were wider than Peshawar's, cleaner, and lined with rows of hibiscus and flame trees. The bazaars were more organized and not nearly as clogged with rickshaws and pedestrians. The architecture was more elegant too, more modern, and I saw parks where roses and jasmines blossomed in the shadows of trees. Farid found a small hotel on a side street running along the foot of the Margalla Hills. We passed the famous Shah Faisal Mosque on the way there, reputedly the biggest mosque in the world, with its giant concrete girders and soaring minarets. Sohrab perked up at the sight of the mosque, leaned out of the window and looked at it until Farid turned a corner. The hotel room was a vast improvement over the one in Kabul where Farid and I had stayed. The sheets were clean, the carpet vacuumed, and the bathroom spotless. There was shampoo, soap, razors for shaving, a bathtub, and towels that smelled like lemon. And no bloodstains on the walls. One other thing. A television set sat on the dresser across from the two single beds. "Look," I said to Sohrab. I turned it on manually, no remote, and turned the dial. I found a children's show with two fluffy sheep puppets singing in Urdu. Sohrab sat on one of the beds and drew his knees to his chest. Images from the TV reflected in his green eyes as he watched, stone-faced, rocking back and forth. I remembered the time I had promised Hassan I would buy his family a color TV when we both grew up. "I'll get going, Amir Agha," Farid said. "Stay the night," I said. "It's a long drive. Leave tomorrow." "Tashakkur," he said. "But I want to get back tonight. I miss my children." On his way out of the room, he paused in the doorway. "Goodbye, Sohrab John," he said. He waited for a reply, but Sohrab paid him no attention. He just rocked back and forth, his face lit by the silver glow of the images flickering across the screen. Outside, I gave him an envelope. When he tore it, his mouth opened. "I don't know how to thank you," I said. "You've done so much for me." "How much is in here?" Farid said, slightly dazed. "A little over $2,000. "$2,000, he began. His lower lip was quivering a little. Later, when he pulled away from the curb, he honked twice and waved. I waved back. I never saw him again. I returned to the hotel room and found Sohrab lying on the bed, curled up in a big C. His eyes were closed, but I couldn't tell if he was sleeping. He had shut off the television. I sat on my bed and grimaced with pain, wiped the cool sweat off my brow. I wondered how much longer it would hurt to get up, sit down, and roll over in bed. I wondered when I would be able to eat solid food. I wondered what I would do with the wounded little boy lying on the bed, though a part of me already knew. There was a carafe of water on the dresser. I poured a glass and took two of Armand's pain pills. The water was warm and bitter. I pulled the curtains and eased myself back on the bed and lay down. I thought my chest would rip open. When the pain dropped a notch and I could breathe again, I pulled the blanket to my chest and waited for Armand's pills to